All right. Okay. So, I don't know, we've been doing this for a bunch of years now, which is fun. So, like we always say, the goal of the Seder is not to say Vortlach. Per se, that's not why we sit around the table. It happens to be nice, by the way, like, as like a backup. Like, if it would turn out that like, the Seder is just people saying Vortlach, like, that's pretty good. Like, imagine, like, of all the nights of this year, I think there's probably more Divrei Torah at the Seder table than probably any Yontif table of the whole year. So, okay, like, you know, like, it's not about Vortlach, but if it's important Vortlach, okay, that's nice also. But that's not the goal, right? The goal is not just to say nice words. The goal is that the goal of the Seder in general, right, and what we'll talk about the more as we move along, is to inspire conversations about Emunah. The night of the Seder is a night of Emunah, right? It's a night to talk about what it means to be the Am HaNivchar, what it means that Hashem, why did Hashem put us through all this, and why do we remember it every single year? To remember that Hashem controls the world. That's what the Sefer Chinuch writes, that's what the Ramban writes, that the goal of talking about, you know, the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to inspire a person and children and adults to recognize that Hashem is in control of the world. And so that really is our goal, to talk about Emunah, to talk about what it means to be a part of Am Yisrael. That's really what we're there for. That being said, we have this book that provides for us a really nice opportunity to talk about, you know, springboards for conversations that's center around that idea. There are plenty of ideas you can pull out from the Seder, from the Haggadah, that have nothing to do with Emunah and nothing to do with, you know, any of these topics. So, you know, that's okay. But my goal tonight is to share with you, I don't know, of like 9-10 ideas, each of which does in some way relate to, I hope, in some way, to get us to talk about the central themes of the Seder, the central themes of the night. But the truth is, other meaningful ideas as well. I'll start by telling you three stories that I heard from Rav Biederman. I don't know, I didn't hear them from Rav Biederman. I saw them on a video that they sent out on the Rav Biederman WhatsApp. The only problem with the Rav Biederman WhatsApps is that they send like these videos every day, but they're all in Yiddish. So I can't just listen to them. I have to read them. And you have to like watch them, literally, because it's like reading it. So, but he told this great story. So he told a few stories, and these stories, I think, are nice for setting the stage, right? What are we doing when we get to the Seder and our feelings? If there are not more chairs, there are more chairs than misbenders. But the goal of, right, what are we doing when we sit down at the Seder? So he told a story about the Talmud Rebbe. The Talmud Rebbe was once sitting at the Seder, and all the stories that we hear about Talmidei Chachamim at the Seder. So we always think, right? You go to the Seder of a Talmid Chacham, you're going to hear he's going to be levitating and he's going to be having special kavanas to connect to Hashem. And everyone always says the stories end up being just like very plain, regular about them like talking to their grandchildren. You're like, that's what the story's really about. But he tells a story about the Talmid Rebbe that they were one time at the Seder and one of the little kids, one of his grandchildren, came into the room and he was holding a bottle of beer. Not because he was drinking it, but because he went into the chametz stash and brought it out. So he comes in with the he comes in with a bottle of beer, and you know, so everybody sitting on the table is like freaking out, like, oh my gosh, there's chametz, you know, going crazy. And the Rebbe goes over to the kid and he says, just put it down. So the kid puts down the bottle. The Rebbe goes, finds some type of big bowl. He puts it over the bottle. And they sit down. And everyone's like, ah! He's like, chevra, it's halacha shachan aruch. If you find a chametz on Pesach, you cover it with something. It's okay, we can move on. Like, relax. The Rebbe had very special chumras of his own. But when it came time to, like, you know, in the moment, the Seder night, you know, it's like 8:45, we finally finished setting up, and now we're sitting down, and we're all panicking, and we're all, you know, like, anxious. He knew how to keep calm. It's okay, it's fine, next, don't worry about it. Tell someone said Rav Futner was sitting at the Seder table. Someone, you know, we had this happen at my Seder like 3 years ago. Literally, we were making Kiddush. And one of the kids, like, was like walking over the table and like falls over, you know, and like grape juice went like everywhere, you know. So it says, still, same story happened to Rav Futner's table. So he sits down, someone hits the table, and the wine spills on Rav Futner's kittel, you know, all you know, purple now. And so Rav Futner says very calmly, a kittel without wine is like a Yom Kippur machzer without tears. Oh. It's okay. It's fine. right? Like, what are we here for, Chaver? Like, we're and especially this year, we start so late both nights, right? 8:16, we start setting the table. Like, unless you eat at a different table, you set your table before Pesach, you know, before Shabbos. But like you're going to set the table 8:16. It's going to be a little bit of chaos. And like, to remind ourselves, like, it's okay. It's okay. Take a deep breath. Rav Zalman of Breisel was one time, he had the Hasidim would spend all this time like baking their matzahs on Erev Pesach, and like they would spend like all this time working on their matzahs. And same thing, kids are running around the table, boom, and knock into the matzahs and crack half of them in half. Same thing, he said. Baruch Hashem for my sweet grandchildren. You know, like, it's okay, it's fine. Like, it's really important to take a deep breath as we're preparing and coming to the table. It's all not, if we come to the table angry and frustrated and snapping at each other, then like, what are we doing here, guys, right? So I think it's a nice thing just to remind ourselves at the beginning, what's the goal of the night? And so Biner and ended by saying, what's the goal of the night? Echad miyodea. Echad miyodea, that doesn't mean that, what is one, right? But what is one, meaning what's the goal of the night? The Seder, to know everything that happens because Ribbono Shel Olam is setting it up. Right, Hashem, okay? If the wine spilled, if the matzahs crack, if the whatever it is happens, I'll be fine. Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of me. We'll be fine. We'll make it a nice night. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Fine. Okay. Source number one. We have a halacha, right? When we do bedikas chametz, that we put, right? The Rama writes in source number one, v'noagin lahaniach pesisei chametz b'makom sheyimatzeim habodek, right? We do this funny thing that we hide chametz around. Where do we hide it? In a place where the searcher is going to find it. Okay, so it's kind of bizarre. In my house, Chani makes a list of where each one is. Because if you don't make a list, you're going to miss one. Fine, but that's what we do. We do it, I don't make a bracha of Atala. I put it there on purpose. I made a bracha, be your chametz. I should find the chametz. If you didn't do that, it's okay. The das kol adam yah bracha levayir nimsa. The goal is, if I'm going to find it, I'll make a bracha. So I'll burn whatever I find. So you don't have to worry. If you don't do that, it's okay. It's not a bracha levatal. If you don't put the bread around, but that's the minug. Fine. And there's another halacha found in the Mishnah, in source number two. Kol mokom she'im machnisim bo chametz ein sarach bedika. If it's a place where chametz is not placed, so you don't have to do bedikas chametz in that place. If it's in your crawl space, you never go up there, so you don't have to do bedikas chametz. But the Avodas Yisrael, the Magid of Kuznets, says a beautiful idea about both of these halachas. He writes the following in source number three. V'nira shenalgu ha-minag ha-kadosh ha-zeh mipnei. Why is it that we put, 10 pieces of bread around the house? Mipnei she'ikar ha-bir chametz hu ha-yetzahara. Right, what is the real goal of getting rid of the chametz? What is this all about? What does Chazal tell us? Then, and it's like Sisrei Torah, Kabbalistic ideas, that the idea of the bedikas chametz, right, is searching out the Yetzirah inside of ourselves, setting out the pieces of ourselves that are puffed up, the parts of us that are right, the Seor Shebi Isa, as Chazal say, which refers to the Yetzirah. V'lazeh nihigu lahaniya chametz laharos shebevada yesh bo adayin avon v'chametz hu ha-Yetzirah. Meaning, why do we put the bread around to show that? What do you mean? Maybe I have no bread. Maybe there's no Yetzirah. Maybe I'm good. The answer is no. Everybody has. We all have things we struggle with, all have things we're working on. So we put around the chametz on purpose to show that I know I have what to work on. It's okay. I know I have to work on it. I'm going to go find it. But I don't pretend that I don't have anything there. There's no such thing as a person who doesn't do averos. There's no such thing. A person who thinks that he's I've done it all. I've taken care of myself. I'm totally cleaned and finished and perfect. Wow. A person certainly has not even started avodas Hashem. A person thinks that they're done and have nothing to work on, so it means they're not involved in Avodas Hashem. Because that's ridiculous. Everyone has things to work on, right? Kamushka safti makam acher. Fine. Perish akatsu asher ein bo mum. Asher lo ala ol. The pasuk says about an animal, right? That there's an egla rufa. You take an animal that has no mum, that has nothing wrong with it. Asher lo ala ol, which has never been used, has never put a yoke on its neck. It's literally talking about an animal. An animal hasn't been used at all, right? But they say, what do they say? Shemisha sover she'im b'mum, a person who thinks that they have no blemishes, that I'm totally fine. B'vadei lo ala alev adayin ol machu shemaim. That person's never taken the yoke of heaven on their shoulders, right? So we find our way to put bread around, to remind ourselves that we all have things to check, we all have things to find. Fine, but take a look on the left side. V'chol makom she'ein machnisim b'chametz ein tzarech b'dike. And also it's true that any place where you don't put chametz, you don't have to check. But this means more than just what that means. What does it mean? V'nir haremes. What's the symbol? Tine yesh b'nei adam she'ena mashkichan amaseyem rak amasim shal b'nei adam achirim. Some of us, sometimes, right, instead of taking a look this way, where do we look? We look that way. Look at that guy, and she's done that wrong, and he did this, and I can't believe that, right? You know when the rabbi's talking, right, and you go, oh, you're really giving it to that guy, right? So if you have that thought in your head, so you know that you're, right? We do that sometimes, right? It's you're always looking at somebody else. V'lazem masir atanam makom she'ein machnisim bo chametz, ein tzarech v'digas. What does it mean? In a place where you don't put chametz, you don't need to check. Meaning, klomar, she'ein lasos kach she'ashkiach al ma'aseim shal acherim. Someone else's area, you don't have to check someone else's house. You've got to check your house. Right? Don't check other people's houses, check your house. So this is not necessarily related to the Seder per se, but it's so beautiful, so I wanted to show it to you. But a really beautiful idea to think about maybe this week as we're preparing ourselves and getting ourselves ready for Pesach, that we're not just getting our houses ready, we're not just getting our cars ready, we are hopefully getting our souls ready, our neshamas ready for a meaningful time with Ribono Shel Olam. Source number four is a source that I've shown you every year since I saw it, because it is so important. And it's particularly true this year, Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol this year is Erev Pesach. So it's certainly a difficult time, or a challenging time, I should say, in some way. And Reb Melech writes in source number four the following. I love this idea. There are many reasons given for the name of this Shabbos, Shabbos HaGadol. One is that it's a reference to the great miracle that took place on that day. And another connects it to the Pasuk read in the Haftorah that tells of the great day that will come, Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanora. Right, the miracle was that Am Yisrael were able to go take the Egyptian god, right, the sheep, which the Egyptians worshipped, and took it in front of them and said, hey, and the guy says, what are you doing with that? Oh, I'm taking it to bring your sacrifice to my god. And the Egyptians did nothing, right? That was a big miracle that happened on the Shabbos before Pesach. So that's called Shabbos HaGadol. But perhaps we can suggest another answer as well. On this Shabbos, people often have to give up their usual habits in deference to the fact that the house is being readied for Pesach. Maybe instead of challahs, there are just small rolls. And instead of eating in the comfort of the dining room, the sudos are being held in a cramped kitchen, the hallway, or outside on the porch. This is true every year Shabbos HaGadol, but it's really true this year. People sometimes dig their heels in during such situations, insisting that change is wrong, and they need to show proper respect for the Shabbos and its meals by treating this Shabbos as all others, whatever the cost to those around them. They want to eat regular foods in the regular place. It might sound holy, but it is wrong. What is right is to be mevater, to respect the will of others and conduct the Shabbos in a way that makes it easier for the ones charged with preparing for Pesach. Being mevater, it's just true during the whole week, this week also, brother, right? Being mevater is what makes a person big. So this Shabbos gives us a chance to be a gadol, to be big. Arla Belzer was once traveling by taxi and he had to bend over to enter the car. To move forward, he reflected, a person has to bend over. The Yismach Yisrael of Yachmir Yisrael Yitzchak of Alexander explained the power of the mikvah in this way. A person has to crouch and bend themselves to be submerged by the water. And that act is itself part of the purity. Before Pesach, we get this gift, a Shabbos HaGadol, a Shabbos in which we can be great. And the way to be great is by submitting to the needs of those around us. Shabbos HaGadol means, to be a Gadol means to be mevatar, to let things go, to go a little easy, to be okay with whatever food there's going to be, whatever situation we're going to have, and whatever little rolls we're going to eat outside on the porch. Whatever we're going to do, it's going to be a little bit annoying, a little schleppy. Davening's going to be at 7 in the morning. It's annoying. And being able to go with the flow and be a little flexible and let things go, that is to be a gadol, and that's what it means, says Reb Biederman, Shabbos HaGadol. Okay. Now we'll talk a little bit about the Seder. Okay. So this next word, actually, wow, three Reb Biedermans, I didn't even think about it. There's another idea from, this is the Hebrew Reb Biederman Haggadah. And he writes the following in a very beautiful way. Yesodam shall see money has Seder. Anybody here, you guys sing the song at the beginning of the Seder? Kadesh. Anybody not do that? No, sorry, don't have to. But that, like, that's what you do, right? You sing that song. I don't know like where, how old that niggin is, but it's not so old. I don't know. I think it's pretty old. But it's as old as me. That much I know. But we mention. We don't just do the Seder. We say the Seder before we do the Seder, right? We are very makbid, right? We probably don't even think about the fact that we do that. But you sit down and you first say, this is what the Seder is going to be. This is the things we're going to do. So what is this idea? What is that about? So it says, Reb Biederman ben Yesodam shall see manei ha-Seder beharei kodesh. What is this idea? V'huvu b'machzer vitri shayaya min ha-rishonim. So this idea of the simanei ha-Seder, kadesh, urchatz, karpas, yachatz, it comes from the machzer vitri, which was the time of Rashi. Rashi quotes the machzer vitri. So that's why we're talking about the year like 1000. Okay, so we're talking many, many, almost a millennia ago, at least. that, and if he wrote it in the year 1000 or to 1100, it must be it was being done even before that, right? So this is a very, very old minhag of saying the Simani HaSeder. So where does this come from? Kasuah Mikubalim, the Mikubalim write, Shira'ui l'kol echad lahotzi mipiv es ha-simanim kadesh orchatz ad nirtzah, to say them all out, okay? And tzadikim nasnu tam l'davar, and the tzadikim gave a reason that we do this. Why? What's the reason why I have to say these simanim out loud? Hidine kaimalan hamotze aveda chayev lachzir lebalav api simanim. Someone loses something. Say someone loses their, they lose their watch. Okay, so my watch has blue hands. Okay, it's a white back one with blue hands. So if someone say I found a watch, and I come say, oh, I lost my watch. So they say, oh, great. If you want your watch back, tell me what it looks like. Meaning, tell me the simon. Tell me something about it that is unique that I'll know from that this is really your watch. So say, oh, well, my watch has a white face with blue hands. Oh, okay, good. So the fact that you have simonim, you know the things about it that are unique, that allows you to now get the watch back because you were able to find to note the things about it that are unique. Good. So you use the simonim to get back that which you lost. That's the halacha. Okay. Vinei b'meshach kol hashana. And what happens all year? Kula ma'abed ha'adam dargosav haruchnius machmas koach ha'yetzahara. It happens the whole year. We spend the whole year, we are involved in lots of things, we're very busy, we're running around, and we just get like, we get a little bit lost, and we lose our way here and there. We forget who we are, forget what the things that matter to us, right? And we get, caught up in things that are silly. And what happens? V'skulas lela seder, she'achzirulo es ha'avedos, she'ibid. So what happens? The Seder night comes, and it's an opportunity to get back the things that we've lost. To remind ourselves of the things that matter. Remind ourselves of the things that we sometimes lose track of. How do we get them back? Simanim. We use simanim. Okay, not the simanim of our neshama, right? But the simanim of the Seder are a way to get things back. Just like you get back something you lost by mentioning it's simanim. So the simanei ha-seder are a way to get back the things that you've lost. Skulas lel ha-seder she-yachzirulos ha-avedos she-ibed ayedei she-yomar es ha-simanim b'fev. Kadesh urchatz karpas yachatz are a map for us to remind ourselves the way back to the things that really matter. And somehow I find you sit at the Seder, you have conversations, you talk about emunah, you talk about Hashem, you talk about the things in life, what does it mean to be Am Yisrael, and like you get like this, like a little bit like you get like a little oxygen to your neshama, like a reminder of where I'm supposed to be, who I'm supposed to be, not because, by the way, not because it's like super spiritual, don't get me wrong, most Seders are regular and fine and normal, but even in that normal conversation, somehow, right, we talk about things that are elevated, it's a little elevated, at least during Magid, it's a little elevated. And it gives us a little reminder of the things in our life that matter to us. We get those back via the simanim. Source number 6 is from a new Haggadah that if you don't have, I recommend that you get it. I don't have any, I don't care royalties. This is the Baderech Haggadah, Along the Path of Redemption by Rav Judah Michel. If you saw the book Baderech, Along the Path of Tshuva, if you like that book, it's full of, if you think you haven't read it, you've read some of it because I've told many stories in that book. Because all the Hasidic Maisalach that I tell, a lot of them come from Judah's book, Baderech. So now I have a new source for Hasidic Maisalach for Pesach from this new book. No, it's a beautiful, beautiful book. Very, very relatable and normal. Judah's stuff is very beautiful. So he writes the following in source number 6. One of the thoughtful and kind teachers of Torah in our generation, Rabbi David Aaron, describes his first encounter with the great Kabbalistic master as a novice student in the world of Jewish mysticism. Rabbi Aaron is the head of Yeshivat HaRaita in the Old City. And so he told the story that he had experience. He came to a shir from a Kabbalist. And this is his experience. In a crowded shir, the master called upon the newcomer, summoning him forward, and held out an apple in his hand, dangling it by its stem. Okay, this is what happened. And this doesn't happen in shirim that I give, but it's I'm not a Kabbalist. But so he's holding out an apple for him, okay? Slightly confused, Rabbi Aaron reached out to take the apple. But the chevra in the crowd shouted, "No!" Flustered, he withdrew his hand. Once again, the older master offered the apple. Again, the young student tried to take it. And again, the assembled crowd shouted, "No!" Someone motioned for him to cup his hand and hold it beneath the apple. Rabbi Aaron did so. And the Kabbalist smiled and gently dropped the apple into his open hands. Okay? He then leaned over and whispered a gentle admonishment. So what have you been learning? Before the young student could answer, the master turned and walked away. Okay, what in the world does that have to do with anything? So we have a minhag. There's a minhag, a very strong minhag in my family. I don't know if it is in yours. That at the Seder, you don't pour your own cup of wine. Right? What do we do? Everybody pours for each other. Why do we pour for each other? What? Cheirus. Royalty. A royal person doesn't pour their own cup of wine. Right? That's how I always knew that minhag. Right? It's not royal person. You're a free person. We make jokes. You're a free man. Here you go. Right? You pour for each other. Fine. So what? So you're right. So our custom of not pouring our own wine, but rather having someone else pour, is a symbol of royalty and freedom. We're invited to become vessels, to open ourselves and learn the art of Kabbalah, of receiving. The gift of redemption expressed in the Arba Kosos of Pesach is not for us to take. Instead, we're invited to cup our hands, to extend our empty glass and create a humble, open vessel to receive. Beyond kashering kalim and using special Passover dishware, pots and pans, we are summoned to ourselves become vessels, to make ourselves available, to be welcomed into the experience of redemption, to enter Pesach by allowing Pesach to enter us. We may receive the depth of the Seder by placing our hands under it and opening our hearts and minds in receptivity. Fascinating. Look at the pasuk that he quotes. He quotes such an interesting pasuk. He says, "Ha'isha asher nimsa gavia biyado, hu yali le'eved." What's that pasuk from? Miketz. Who's that about? Binyamin. Right, when Yosef sends Menashe, whoever it was, to after Binyamin to bring him back. So it's not a happy pasuk. What does he say? They stuck the cup in his bag, hid it there, right? So that they would find it. But what does it say? He says, whoever has the cup in his hand, he'll become my slave, right? Yosef says. Right. So what's the point here, though? The point here is he's turning it on its head, right? And I'm sure he didn't make it up. Right? That what's happening at the Seder, and we don't think about it this way. I never thought about this way ever. That when we sit and we have someone pour into our glass, right? And we don't have to go grab it because we're not, we're free people. We have a chance to choose. We can be a little calm. We don't have to be so frantic. Right? We can take our time. What does it give us the opportunity to do? To sometimes be a makabo, just to sit and wait and to experience and not to run and create and is it enough and is it this and is that what? So just like to sit and experience it and not have to worry so much and just be at the Seder. And sometimes when we can just be, then we can have a greater experience. I certainly feel like, personally, I've been feeling this, but like so frantic the last few weeks, like running around and running around and running around. And sometimes you're running around so much, you get that point where it's like, it's nice to be a little busy, but then you get like too busy. And you're so busy, you can't think. And you're so busy, you can't have a conversation. You can't sit and just enjoy something for a minute. And the Seder eventually arrives. It's really great to try if we can. I know it's hard. Sometimes we're the ones running the Seder or we're the one making sure the food's not burning. But like to try if we can to sit the Seder and a little bit just be an experience. And when we can do that, then we allow the Seder to go through us. And then if that's true, the person who has the cup in their hand, maybe the person who's cupping their hands, can be the Eved. Meaning we can be involved in Avodas Hashem. We have the opportunity to sit and enjoy and sort of just experience, not to worry so much. Is it enough? Am I doing the right thing? Is it happening? Are the kids paying attention and they're not paying attention? Like, it's okay. Just experience it a little bit. And if you do that, then hopefully you have a chance to sort of allow the Seder to wash over you as well. Okay. Next. The next idea comes from the Haggadah of the Shemen HaTov. The Shemen HaTov. Bernard Weinberger is Rabbi Weinberger's uncle. He was the rabbi of the Young Israel of Brooklyn in Williamsburg. I don't think there's any more Young Israel in Williamsburg. But he was the rabbi there. He wrote beautiful, beautiful svarim called the Shemen HaTov, which are beautiful, beautiful Divrei Torah in the Parsha. Multiple, five volumes of Divrei Torah, beautiful stuff. He also has a Haggadah, the Haggadah Shemen HaTov. So he notes the following. It's a little bit hard to tell on your sheet, but if you look on the little part there on the top, so this is just where it says the Manashtana. But if you look above where it says the Manashtana, it says Mechasinas haMatzos, we cover the matzos, Umozgin lo kos sheni, and we pour the second cup, and then it says Vikan haben shoel, and here the child asks. Many, many Haggadahs have that instruction. Kan haben shoel. This is the place where the child asks. Okay. So the Shemen HaTov is going to offer, I think, a very just sort of logical explanation of why the Manashtana comes at this point in the Seder. And I'll have a second answer, second explanation for this as well. But like the first, his first point, I think it's, to me, is relatively simple, but actually just explain to me more about the order of the Seder. He writes the following, Kanireh, Dinasu Kvar Dai Shinuyin, Shaben Ro'eh Osam. Yeah, sorry, I'm next page. Okay? At this point, think about it. If you get to the Manash Tanah, how many things have you done already? You did. Simone said it already. Kadesh, Urchatz. Okay? So Urchatz, you did what already? You washed. That was weird. Right? Karpas. That was weird. Okay? Yachatz. You cut the matzah in half. You've already done a bunch of weird things. Okay? And by the way, when you had Kiddush, what else did you do? You leaned. You've already done a bunch of things that are pretty strange already at this point. Right? And once you've done that, right, then you cut the matzah in half, and then you said, everybody come, anyone who wants to come, come to visit and come be part of the Seder, which is also bizarre because we already started the Seder. Right, so you've already done a bunch of weird things. The father's already sitting and waiting in Kittel. There's already a lot of strange things that have happened already, right? And you've done all those things. And now, Kan HaBen Shoel. It's not random. We don't say Kiddush and then do Manashtan, right? And it doesn't just happen to be. There's a reason why the Manashtana happens now, because why? It actually makes sense now, right? He writes the following, Kanira denasu kfar dai shinuyim. Shaben ro'el, so we've done a lot of things now that the kids see. Ukvar yeshben and kedei lishol ha-dalakushios. And now they can actually ask the four questions. Dibi kiddish ra kvar sha'av shote beseba. You already saw kiddish, the person made kiddish, drank leaning. Halayla zeh kulanu misubin. Ukashira hatibo karpas b'mei melech. He saw you dipping the karpas in the salt water. Visham ha-bracha shal borei pri adama shokhaleli mo gamas ha-maror. Right, the borei pri adama, when you dipped, and you made the bracha on the carpets, what did you say? Everyone have in mind, the Brei Adam is also for the Maror, right? You said it then, right? Yodea Kvar, Mimitzvah's Maror. So now he knows Maror is coming. Halayla Zeh Maror. Viodea Kvar, Mishnei Tibulim. Good, now he knows there's two dippings. Halayla Zeh Shtei Pamim. Ukishara Sayachatz, Visham Halach Mania. Yodea Kvar, Sheyesh Lech Odafka Matzah Lechem Oni. He already learned that you're supposed to eat matzah. Halayla Zeh Kulo Matzah. V'lachin Achshav Shikafar Ra Bimo Enof. Kol Elu Hashinuyim. Who show el hadala kushios shahani dala devarim shabao b'shinui? Now he asks the question. So that was just the first point. I found it interesting. I was like, wow, it's like so obvious. I never thought about it. Like the order of the manashtana happening here. Why? Is because he just saw all four of those things. He saw them already, and now the kid asks. Fine, but I want to share with you a different explanation of kan haben shoel. The Rav Asher of Stalin used to say, the Stalin Rebbe, that Kan HaBen Shoel, yes, is an introduction to the Manashtana, but on a deeper level, Rav Asher of Stalin used to always say, he'd say, Kan HaBen Shoel, now is the time for every child of the Ribono Shel Olam, Lish'ol, to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something. Right? At this moment, now that we've started the Seder, and we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu what we're ready to do, and that we're here, we gathered together, we spent so much time getting ready, we made ourselves prepare for the Seder, and now we're in the thick of things, Kan HaBen Shoel. Now it's time for every child of Hashem, Lish'ol, to ask him for something. And he would say at that moment, everyone should sit quietly and ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for whatever it is they want at that moment. Kan HaBen Shoel. But what was noted last year, and is unfortunately true still this year, is that the word Shoel doesn't just mean to ask. Lish'ol also means to borrow. To borrow. Kan HaBen Shoel. What does it mean that now at the Manashtana, the child is borrowing? So unfortunately, and it wasn't just not just true this now in our generation, it has been true for many generations, right? There are children whose parents would be killed in a pogrom, they'd be lost, and all types of horrible things would happen to Am Yisrael. And there'd be children who sit at a Seder with no father or no mother, right, who'd been taken from them. And what they would have to do is be shoel, they'd have to borrow a parent from somebody else, because they wouldn't have. They wouldn't have a parent. So Kan HaBen Shoel wasn't just a message to each of us to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for things that we want, but Kan HaBen Shoel would be an opportunity also to remind ourselves that every single child whose parent was taken on October 7th and since then was sitting at the Seder, and will sit this year at the Seder also. Children whose parents were killed in battle, right, were lost in Gaza, lost in Lebanon, right, lost fighting, find themselves now without a parent. And Kan HaBen Shoel, it's an opportunity now. They're going to have to be borrowing a parent in that moment. It actually reminds me of an idea that said that why was it? V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. That when Am Yisrael left Mitzrayim, so they went chamushim. So we say, being they left 1 in 5. Right? There was 1/5 of Klal Yisrael, only left 4/5 were killed. What does that mean? There's different calculations. Maybe it wasn't as many people killed as really some say in Chazal, but the bottom line is 1 in 5 adults were killed. So what does it mean? V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. Some of the Farshim say that it means that every parent who walked out of Mitzrayim was chamushim. They had 5 times the number of children they took with them. That as they walked out of Mitzrayim, they had their own children, and they had the 4/5, those other people who died in Choshech, their kids didn't die. And so Am Yisrael had to take care of other children on the way out of Mitzrayim. And in that sense, in a similar way, unfortunately, we find ourselves this year with a similar idea. Kana ben Shoel, this is an opportunity to remind ourselves that if we're going to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something, maybe we daven a chizik, a strength for families who lost parents, who lost spouses, who lost brothers and sisters in October 7th and onward, that Hashem should bring nechama to those families. B'mehir v'yameinu. Okay. Number eight is an idea from the Shevet Alevi. The Shevet Alevi, Shmuel Alevi Vosner. Vosner was a huge Talmid Chacham, posek in the Haredi world in Eretz Yisrael. He wrote a set of tshuvos called the Tshuvos Shevet Alevi. He also wrote a Haggadah. And he writes the following. You know, we talk about saying over the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we say, Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nivonim, kulanu yodim es haTorah, mitzvah aleinu, l'sapir es Yitzias Mitzrayim. Doesn't matter who you are, you have to tell the story. Okay? So he asks the following question. V'lechora, v'chiyala adas, she'im kulanu chachamim, kulanu nivonim, kulanu zekeinim, kulanu yodim es haTorah, efshali hipater min mitzvah saseh, shasib yitzim. What? I'm going to think of some of the Talmud Chacham. They don't have to tell the story of leaving Egypt. Like, what's the question? Right? Like, as he said, like, yeshiva, havamina, what was the thought? They're like, what do you mean? They wouldn't have to? Like, what? Why would someone who's a Talmid Chacham not be required to be a part of the Seder and tell the story? Ella, that's not what he means. The havamina, what's this? What do I maybe have thought? Ki a chacham shechas azmano. That's right. Talmid Chacham are very careful with their time. They don't waste time. Yachol iftoras atzmo, aidea mira sipir tzietz mitzrayim biktzara. Maybe what did we do? He'd say, you know, I'll do the fast Yitzias Mitzrayim. I'll tell that story quick, right? Then I'll go back. We'll go back. I have the base medrash and learn Bava Basra, whatever he wants to learn. Right? It's the person knows how to learn, so they don't have to spend their time telling this story that they know and they learned it a million times. Say it over and over. How many makos were there, and what did they look like, and what was it, and sing the songs. Like, what are we doing here? I know this story already. It's more important to learn, real learning. Why would I spend my time telling this story stage by stage? L'kach ne'amar mitzvah alinu nesapri b'yitzias Mitzrayim ki ha-mitzvah sheyiyah amirasa b'derech sipur b'harchava u'b'nesinus. Tell the story slowly and expansively. V'lo dibur grey d'ba. I'm just going to like mention it, right? We mentioned this difference that all year round in the Shema, what do we say? We just mention, right? Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. We just kind of like mentioned for a minute, right? You took us out of Egypt, right, Hashem? Right? We mentioned it for a moment. At the night of the Seder, we tell the whole story, Be'arichas, the whole long story, right? We don't just mention it for a minute. V'zeu v'cholamar b'lasarpi b'tzias Mitzrayim ha'erzei meshubach. And that's why it says anybody who tells it more is praiseworthy. Ki hi ha'mitzvah l'harbos b'tzias. That's what the story, that's what the mitzvah is, to really tell the story. That's what's the story of the people in Bnei Brak, right? Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, all these big Talmid Chachamim. And what are they doing? They're telling Misapri Misias Mitzrayim Kolos Olad. They were not learning. Like, there's different. Some say that when it got to a certain point, they started learning. They weren't, according to Sefer Peshat, they weren't learning anything very, you know, sophisticated halachos. They were telling a story of Misias Mitzrayim, simply a very basic story, and that's the goal. So what? So why tell me this story? What's the point? I think the point is like this. I've noticed this, you know, when we're younger, so there's certain basic things that we learn. You're supposed to learn Pirkei Avos. You're supposed to learn the Chumash and Rashi. You're supposed to learn some basic things that we learn, right, as kids, hopefully. Right? And then as we get older, so we expect ourselves to be a little more, maybe a little more sophisticated. I don't want to just learn like those basic things. I want to go to something a little more sophisticated. And that's true. We should have more sophisticated learning. But there's a certain value at times of going back to the basics. If you learned Pirkei Avos when you were 14, and you learned Pirkei Avos when you're 24, and then when you're 44, and then when you're 64, it's not the same Pirkei Avos. Try it. It's very, you see a depth in it. that you didn't see before, right? You go back, you know, there's certain basic, you know, you learn the Chumash. You learn the Chumash, Chumash Rashi. And you read it when you were 10 and when you were 21 and then when you were 30. It's not the same Chumash. It's a different Chumash. You read it with different eyes, with a different perspective. And sometimes we get this idea, like, I'm going to, like, do something very sophisticated, and that sometimes is actually difficult for us. And if we would sometimes turn back and just go back to the basics at times, and we spend our time learning the basics, it actually has a lot of power, a lot of impact on us. And it can make a big, very big difference. And instead of looking for, you know, sophistication always, sometimes there's a value in reinforcing the things that we've always known to be true. And and that certainly is true about the Seder. The Seder, yeah, I know I'm telling the same story. But if I don't pretend it's the same story, tell it again anew. Right, have that conversation. Like, I never thought about this part. Why did Paro this? And why did Moshe have to do like that? And why did there have to be 10 plagues? And why couldn't there be 5 plagues? And why couldn't there be... Why didn't Hashem just, you know, beam me up, Scotty, and take us straight out of Mitzrayim and right to Eretz Yisrael? These are fundamental questions that matter. And to presume I know it already makes you lose that opportunity to kind of re-establish a connection to the basics of the story, which all of them... Again, draws closer to that sense of Amunah. Yeah, Hashem really did have a plan. It really did make sense. There really was something special going on here. And when I do that, I remind myself that even the big Talmid Chachamim, right, had to do the same thing. So I don't have to excuse myself, like, I'm so sophisticated, this is for children. And I'm sophisticated, it's not for me. It's actually exactly the opposite. If Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva needed to spend the time telling the story again, I guess there's a value for me also, sitting and looking and telling the story again, and using that opportunity to kind of look deeper into what it really is. Okay. Source number 9. So we always get to, we're in the Seder, we're talking about the 4 sons, right? And we find ourselves, Chacham, Mahu Omer, right? Tam, in your daily shawl, and someone gets, and you get to the Russia. And you get to the Russia, and parents get nervous, we don't want to talk about it. And we get scared, and no one wants to talk about the Russia. I don't know, no. And so someone just like, who's going to read the Russia? Someone just read it. Read the Russia. And someone's like, but wait a second. No, we're going to go to the next thing now. You're like, right? We get a little uncomfortable by the Russia. The Russia makes us feel uncomfortable. Who are we talking about? What does that mean? I think we spoke about the Russia a few years ago on Shabbos HaGadol for that reason, because it makes us uncomfortable. But one of the things we say about the Russia is that Lifi Shehotzias Atzmo Minaklal Kafar Bikar, right? Because he took him, he says, Ma'avda Zos Lachem. This is for you and not for me. And what do we say? Because he took himself out, he says it's for you and not for me. So kafar bikar, he's a literally means he's a kofar, he's a heretic, right? And that's why we, you know, bash his teeth. And if he was there, he never would have left, etc. And so kind of a very difficult thing to read. So the Nesiv HaShalom says something very beautiful. Shalom Noach Berezovsky. I guess almost every word I'm saying tonight is a Hasidic word. I don't know what to tell you. But it's because they're nice. What can I say? Maybe I'll start growing payas. I don't know. So the Nesiv HaShalom writes in source number, I'm not going to, don't worry. Says in source number 9, Ben HaRasha, Shoel Ma Vada Zos Lachem. Right, he asked, what's this for you? In Yano Kemashikasa Maran Mikovrin, the Kovrin Rebbe. And he says like this, Atuber Shiaskinam, when the Gemara talks about people, it gives examples. So the Gemara gives an example of someone did X or Y or Z. So if the Gemara like seems to imply that, say, like the person stole or the person did something against the halacha, so the Gemara will respond, or like the Mishnah has a example, right? So the Gemara will say, Atu b'rishiyaskin, what? The Mishnah is giving examples of Rishayim? Like, it doesn't do that. The Mishnah is giving examples. It's talking about a regular person, not a person who's violating the halacha. So the Kavina Rebbe says, what? We get the Russia, what? We live in a Russia, Mamish? Like, Rishiyaskin? I'm talking about Russia? Like, a person who hates God, etc.? No, that's not what it means. Elisha Amnam Hu Obed Hashem. No, this person, the Russia, is not really a Russia. He's a person who serves Hashem. Ach Merov Kishlonot Sheyeshlo Kopam Shechozer V'Nofel Higil Yeyesh. It's a person who, you know, it's not going for him. He tries to be an Obed Hashem, but he tries and he fails. And he tries and he fails again. And no, this day I'm going to get up for Shacharis, except that I woke up at 10 o'clock. And this day I'm going to try to get, whatever the example is, I'm going to come to the shir, I'm going to not speak Lashon Hara this time, I'm going to try, and every time someone is successful, but he fails so many times, right? Valkein Shoel, Mahavada Zos Lachem, V'lo Lo. What does he say? Yeah, what you guys do, not what I do, because I'm not shaykh to this thing, it's not for me. It's too hard for me. I make mistakes all the time. I don't know how. Atem shezachitem neshmira al yona ruim la'avod. That you guys, you know what you're doing here. You know how it is. You grew up from, you, whatever your example is, right? So you, we always think everyone else has got it together, right? In fact, I'll tell you from my perspective. No one's got it together. We're all really good at fake. No, we're all trying to get it together, right? But like we all have it in certain, we all have it together in some ways and we all don't have it together in some ways, right? And we look around and we assume everyone else has got it together except for me. I'm the one person who hasn't figured it out. News for you, everybody. Everyone's trying to figure it out, right? And so, but we don't feel that way. We look at everybody else who's doing great. Lachem, v'lo lo. You guys are doing great. Avahu, shemalei kishlonos, mi'etzahara, shaborabo. This person who continues to fail because of the Yitzhara that's on fire inside of him. Eich yachol la'avodos Hashem. How is he ever going to serve Hashem? Ve'lav ha'tshuva. We respond to him. Ilu haya sham lo haya negal. What do you say to him? If you were there, you never would have left. Well, that's not so nice. Perish, gam anu shkuyim hayinu b'mitzrayim b'mem tesharetim. We also were in Mitzrayim, and we also were doing bad stuff and thinking bad things, and we were not perfect, and it was not going so great for us. V'rak mikoach shehitchazaknu v'lo hityaashnu b'gulas hanefesh. What did we do that allowed us to leave? We gave ourselves chizik, and we didn't give up from our nefesh being ever redeemed. Im gulas haguf, higana marko. You know why we were able to leave? Because we believed that we had a possibility that we could be better. V'ilu haya sham, lo haya niga mechmas etzem hayeyish hazeh shebo. Why wouldn't you have left? Because you would have felt that you don't belong. You would have felt that it is impossible for you. And if you would give up on yourself, so you're right, you can't have a geula for yourself if you don't believe in your own ability to do so. So that's one pshat. Okay? Odiye Shlomar, Kamur Delobri Shiyaskin, another pshat, that it's not dealing with a Russia. Shlom Aminim Bashem, Chas V'Shalom, someone doesn't believe in Hashem. Ela She'enu Ma'amin, Bekoach HaTamir V'Ne'alam V'Shoresh Nishmos B'nei Yisrael, a person who doesn't believe in the power that exists inside every Nesham of every Jew. Asher Gam Be'esh Shkuim B'mem Tasharitum, this isn't really a different pshat, it's a very similar pshat, right? But that when we're sitting and we're seeing the filth of the 49th level of Tumah, lo da'echa nitzot eloka mimal shebekirbam, they don't notice, right, that spark of Hashem that's inside of us. V'ner Hashem terem kava, in the candle of Hashem that hasn't gone out. V'azeh haket shinav shekafar bi'ikar, and that's why we knock him out, that he's a kofar. Why is he a kofar? A Jew must believe that Hashem chose us. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with us, even when we blow it. Even when we've done terrible things. Even when we feel like we're the lowest of the low, the schmutziest person. Hashem is still with you. Because he said, I'm not shaykh to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because he said Hashem doesn't want me. That's kfira. That's a lack of understanding of what Hashem really is. Who Hashem really is. V'ilu hayasham lo yanigal. If he was there, he never would have left. Ki rak bekoach ha'emuna hazos nigalu avosidim v'mitzrayim. Because of that emuna, that Hashem stays with us no matter what. V'rak bekoach ha'emuna hazos atid in the gal. And that's how we're going to get out of here eventually. And that's why Moshe says, "Bnei Yisrael don't believe in me." Right? He knew that they believed in Hashem. That basically Moshe Rabbeinu recognized that they do recognize, they do see Hashem, and you know that they have a connection to Him. And so I love this pshat in the Rasha. Because even if it's not the simple pshat in the Rasha, it's not the simple pshat. The simple pshat is the Rasha is a bad guy who does bad things. But that's who what he's saying is it's the same person, right? Who we look at and say, bad boy, is in the end of the day the same kid, right? The same person. And not just a kid, it can be an adult also, right? Who feels like I'm not shaykh. It's not for me. I was left behind, right? Other people got it and I don't have it. And you believe in that, you believe Shaotsias as moment a klal, lachem velo lo, it's for you guys and not for me, kafar bikar, that's kafira. And I think that is the pshat. That's part of the pshat. That is the pshat. If a person believes it's not for me, that Hashem doesn't want me, that's kafira. Not to believe what that Hashem wants all of us, no matter what we do. I think that, want to have that conversation at the table? and have a good. That's a tremendously important conversation to have at the Seder table. Okay. One or two more ideas. Okay. We never say Divrei Torah at the end of the Seder because everyone wants to get moving already and finished. So no one ever says Divrei Torah on Kol Shel Eliyahu, right? Because that's like, what about that one? I'm like, Josh, we'll do that one tomorrow. You know, tell us that one at the table. But by the way, that is a good method. By the way, like, you know, when the kids have like 373 things they want to say, so like, it's okay to say like, Shabbos lunch, you know, Yontif lunch also needs Divrei Torah. So we can sometimes save them. And that's a nice way to kind of remind them that we want to hear from them. We have to keep moving. But, you know, lunchtime, you know, Johnny, you're on for this one. And Sally, you'll do that one. And then, right, Timmy, you'll do that one. It's a good way to keep us going. But anyways, sometimes we should say a Divrei Torah at the end of the Seder. And we have, at the end of the Seder, the Kol Shel Eliyahu, which we call the Kol Shel Eliyahu. Okay. The question, of course, is why? What is that Kol Shel Eliyahu all about? So the Shemin Atov, once again, source number 10 writes the following. It's a little hard to read. I apologize. Maybe it's impossible to read. So it's almost impossible for me to read in my original version, so I'm sure it's harder for you. He writes the following. B'shuvah shtei halachem, b'sof ha-sefer, isa sheshalu wal inyan kosha Eliyahu. They asked him about, this is the Maram Chagiz, they asked him about kosha Eliyahu. V'heshiv kipshuto, te'kosa shal Eliyahu yadua inyano, De'apesha asar ve'amar azu es brischa hu apesha hiter. What's Eliyahu HaNavi known for? Eliyahu HaNavi was a zealot for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He was constantly, Eliyahu HaNavi was like, Eliyahu HaNavi in the times of when he was alive, like, well, he's like still alive, whatever you want to call him, but like when he was alive as a person, so like, that was not the guy you wanted to like hang out with necessarily. Like, he was very strong, you know, defending the covenant of Hashem, right? He's the one who calls Klai Yisrael and Maseh post Moshe Asifim. How can you jump on? You're gonna on the one hand serve Hashem, then you serve, you know, the Avodah Zarah of Baal. You're like, you guys, come on, guys, you know, get it together. So he's always giving Musar all the time. He's very excited, but he sometimes, you know, but very, very strong defending Hashem, but not defending Am Yisrael, right? He wasn't a big defender of Am Yisrael. He was a big defender of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Eliyahu doesn't die, right? We know Eliyahu goes up in a fiery chariot. And there's all stories. And then we find out that Eliyahu Navi also, what does he do? He comes to every bris, right? And he comes to the Seder. Okay? Why does he come to every bris and come to every Seder? So take a look what he's writing. So we see there's a rule in Chazal called HaPesha Aser Hu HaPesha Hitya. That sometimes if you made something Aser, so you should be the one to make it Mutter again. Meaning you have an opportunity, you made something a certain way, you can be the one to actually undo it. So he says like this. He's the one who said, V'amar, what did he say to Hashem? Azru es brischa. Right? He said to Hashem, Am Yisrael has forgotten about your bris. Forgotten about your covenant. So now we know why Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every bris milah. Why? You said that Am Yisrael doesn't do bris milah. They forgot the bris of Hashem. You're going to come to every bris milah, Eliyahu, Hashem says. And you're going to see just how much Klal Yisrael have connected and stayed connected through all kinds of wild times in our history, and continue to be connected to the bris, right? Right? Ad Risha Yisrael Shemekayimim Mitzvah Mila. You're going to come see that Am Yisrael keep the Mitzvah Mila. V'kan bePesach. So what does it do in Pesach? So that's true by bris Mila. What does it do in Pesach? Right? V'kan bePesach. Namar v'chol arel yochem. But halacha was, if you didn't have a bris Mila, you couldn't do Korban Pesach. V'afilu milas avada of ma'akev, right? Even the meal of servants. But the point being, v'chimei shemesu achiv machmas mila, hare shayachos gedola pesach lemila. Right? The point being that bris mila and korban pesach go together, because a person in bris mila they can't do the korban pesach. So the bris mila, the actual bris is the time when Eliyahu HaNavi would come. And when's the other time when he comes? The time when only people who have been mekayim the bris can be at the Seder, right? And that's why he shows up. U'b'mitzrayim b'pesach rishon, same thing. Malavas asman, they did bris mila. Lachin mechinen lo kos lichvodo shi'aid shi'yisrael mekayim in pesach amila. So what do? So we have a special cup with his name on it. Wait, Eliyahu, come join us. and be the Eidus HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have not been kafir b'bris HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We haven't forgotten what Hashem wants from us. In fact, we continue to do it even when times are tough, even thousands and thousands of years later, after we've declared to Hashem that we were Ozev as bris. It's not true, right? We still continue to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and connected to the mitzvah of bris milah. But there's one other answer also, which is very beautiful. The Shulchan Aruch writes in source number 11, Kos Revi Maschil Lo Lanu V'Gomer Alav Es HaHalo, you say the Halo, Ve'eno Omri Halucha, etc. Fine. And then he writes the following. Where it says Haggad, three lines down, where it's italicized, V'yesh Omrim, She'yesh Lomar Shvo Chamascha, Kodom Lo Lanu V'Levtoch HaPesach. Right, there's a minhag to say shafo chamascha, pour your heart, your anger on the non-Jews, right? Before we open the door, kedei liskor shehulel shimurim, to know it's a night when we are protected by Hashem, ubeschus emunazu yavo Mashiach, v'yishbo chamaso al machishim b'Hashem. That's the reason we say the shafo chamascha then, right? We're saying to Hashem that we want, you're protecting us now, continue to protect us, right? Destroy our enemies, and shafo chamascha was like so not PC until October 7th, and all of a sudden everyone became very comfortable saying Shvoch HaMascha with no problems, right? V'chein Nogin, right? And we go ahead, and what else do we do? Says the Mishnah Berurah, source number 12, Kei Liskor Shehulel Shimurim, Ve'ein Misyar and Mishum Davar. We're not afraid. It's a minhag some people have. Don't do it. You don't have to do this. They used to leave their doors unlocked the night of the Seder because it's a little Shimurim. You don't have to do that. It's okay. You can lock your door. But the idea being, right? V'Nogin Ve'ein L'Madinos Limzo Kos Echad Yoser Me'a Mesubin V'Korno So Koshel Eliyahu Anavi. Okay, so why do we have this extra cup called Koshel Yahu? L'ramei she'anu maminim she'keshim she'ga'alnu Hashem Yisparach v'mitzrayim hu yigalanu od v'yishlach lanu es Eliyahu l'vasarenu. Eliyahu Navi is not just the person who shows up at the bris, not just the person who shows up at the Seder. Eliyahu is going to be the person who will bring the Mashiach, right? So the reason at the end of a whole Seder, right, we sat and we've talked about the emunah we have in Hashem and the fact that we talk about every difficulty and hard thing that we had, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu nevertheless took us out, and He saved us, and He made us His people, and He promised us that we'll be His people forever. And we drive home that message. So what's the goal of driving home that message? We sit around at the table after, you know, very difficult time for Am Yisrael, and we strengthen our belief, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and that He saves us, just like He saved us then. What's He going to do? He's going to save us again. Right? We have the koach to believe in the idea of Mashiach. If the koach to believe that even when difficult things happen to us, no one even worries about it. I was like, of course we're going to be fine, right? People like us who sit at the Seder every year for your whole life, if you ask a Jew who goes to the Seder, are the Jewish people going to be okay? Are we going to get through all this? What's the answer? Of course we are. It's not even a question. Where does that strength come from? It comes from the Seder. It comes from sitting and having a conversation every year. You know what happened to us 4,000 years ago, and 3,000 years ago, and 2,000 years ago, and 100 years ago, and 70 years ago, and a year ago? Right? And we have that conversation over and over again. And you sit with people. I still remember we sit in Seder with Chani's grandmother, who survived the camps. And she would tell us stories about her survival story. And so many people had that experience, right? You see with people who tell stories about the things that they went through. And at the end of the day, with all the trauma and horrible things, that we made it through, and as a people, we're fine. And the strength of being able to know that and to have that confidence comes from the Seder itself. So how do we end the Seder? With the kos of who? Not the kos of whatever, the kos of Eliyahu. The kos of the one who we know will be there and will tell us the Mashiach, it's over. You did it. You made it through. Mashiach's here. And we end almost the whole Seder with the kos of Eliyahu. As a reminder that, just like he saved us then, and just like he saved us every time, it's not something that happens, it's not something that will happen. That no matter what happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains with us all the time. So we should have the koach to share, like, one idea from here, you know? Don't say them overall, don't say all of them. But you like one that speaks to you, that can spark conversation, that can get people to talk about emunah. Talk about what does it mean, Eliyahu Hanavi? What does it mean, right, that one is Hashem? What does it mean? What is that all about? What is it? Why are we asking so many questions? Why are we doing so many weird things? What's this all about? Abba, I know already that that were, so the children were asked, ha ha ha, let's joke about it. What does that mean? Yeah, but what's the joke? Why do people do that? Why are we trying to engage you in conversation? What's this all about? Find an idea, use a word, tell a story to connect and get people to talk. The goal is not to read all the words in the Haggadah. That's nice. You should read the words in the Haggadah. Yes, you should read the Haggadah. But the goal is to have a conversation. And if you have one meaningful conversation throughout that time, you've done your job. Don't worry, did we say 76 Divrei Torah or 63 Divrei Torah? Did we finish at 6 in the morning? It's okay, I don't finish at 6 in the morning. You can finish at a normal time, right? But to find an opportunity throughout the night to have a meaningful conversation here and there. By the way, the meaningful conversation can happen over the brisket also. That's fine too. It doesn't only have to be during Maggid. Find an opportunity to have that conversation, because these conversations are the conversations that give our children and give ourselves the koach and the emunah to know that just like he took us out before, that's Hashem, he will take us out again. All right, wishing everybody a chag kashrus sameach.